Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hey, hey there, Patriots. Hey, I hope you guys are having a great day, ready for fun with Melly. It's going to be a great day talking about this insurrection. We are really close. He's already deployed all these troops to Minneapolis, I have a feeling, or all of Minnesota. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of great things. What are these Trump clues that he is sending out to us from Minnesota? He just posted again this morning. It's just like fire. He's also posted about Iran. We know what's going on in Canada. When the Greenland thing, we're going to talk about all of that. And they just put a Poppy Trump. I just posted this on the social media about Poppy Trump, you know, being like our General Patton. So I just love it. Now, I posted last night. If you guys are new here, I'm Melissa Redpill. We look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is biblical. This is so biblical what we're experiencing. Don't forget to hit the like button right now before we forget. We get started, and I'm going to forget to remind you to hit the like button right now. And also make sure you're subscribed. Make sure your bell is rung, and also that you always share this information, because this is the great news that the day we've been waiting for thousands of years, the day when the enemy will be crushed under our feet, and that we will have peace on earth for 1,000 years. If you're not familiar with that, my name is Melissa Redpill. Go to melissaredpill.com and look up the information about end times, and you will be so happy you found us. Now, I'm seeing you guys over on the chat. I'm glad to see you guys. I'm glad that we are joining. So make sure that you hit the like so everybody will join in and on all the fun. I just saw a verse last night, and I wanted to share it with you guys before I even get started. This is from Psalm 126, and this is actually, let me see what version I have. Let me pull up the NKJV. I like that version. It makes it real simple to understand. The NKJV of the Psalm 126. This is about us returning from exile. Humanity has been in exile for like 3,000 years since we were cast out. Our forefathers were cast out of the land of Israel. All the tribes of Israel were cast out. If you're not familiar with the research on that, go look on my website. Again, melissaredpill.com, and you will see I talk about the lost tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes. If you want to count, you know, the tribe of Levi, that's 13 tribes. You know, lots of people were scattered all over the world, and you can trace them based upon their heraldry, etc. And that many of us are the true lineage of the Israelites that have been cast, scattered as seed all over the world. But whether we are or whether we're not, the point is those who have true faith in Christ, in the Lord, these are true Israelites. This is what the Bible teaches. It's not about bloodline. It's about your faith. Anyway, so it talks here in Psalm 126. Listen to this. I love this. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Zion is the people of God all over the world. Maybe they've been confused about one thing or 10, but the whole of God's people are being brought back from being in captivity, from being in exile of Zion. And if you remember the Matrix movie, they used the word Zion. You remember that? We were like those who dream. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be like a dream. All we have been through, all we've experienced, we're like, when is this ever going to be over? Even Daniel in Daniel 12. I talk about this on my other videos. He was like, how long before this is going to be over? Because it's going to be awful. And this is exactly what we feel. We're like, come on, when? Is it now? Please tell me it's now. But when this happens, Psalm 126 says, when this happens and we're brought back out of our captivity, we will be like those. We were like those who dream. Now, here it's talking about when they were brought out of captivity from Egypt, right? And also out of Babylon. But this, what we'll be experiencing is the return from captivity, the release of the captives for all of humanity. For all of humanity. We were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. This is not just talking about what happened in the past. This is talking about what's going to happen in the future when we enter into the golden age. I'm going to have to read a giant swath of chapter 12 about, I love 12 too, but about joy. I was just reviewing the book and trying to make sure I don't have correct any typos. I'm terrible at typos. But anyway, so this one right here, The Golden Age of Joy. We're going to talk about that a little bit from this book, The Golden Age. I'm so excited about the Golden Age, especially with all the gold. And this is what it's talking about, not just what happened thousands of years ago, but the future that we have with going into this beautiful golden age. Our mouths will be filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. That's what's going to happen. So exciting. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And when it says the word nations, don't think of nations like France and whatever. Okay, remember how I always tell you, when you see that word, it's really talking about the nations, the Nazis, the criminal cabal, that they will realize, oh no, we had them down. We thought we had them down for the count. There was no getting up. It was over, 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 and the Lord has done great things for them. Isn't that awesome? I love that. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Amen. Give me some amens over there on the chat. Yeah, yeah, so I love it. Let's not skip over the smoldering, defeated enemies. That's right. That's right. We will crush them under our feet. How awesome is that? This is just a beautiful day, and this is the day. If you're not familiar with that, you can go to my website again, melissaredpill.com. On the very home screen, you will see this beautiful sign of the Son of Man our Lord Jesus told us to watch for. He said, you will know when this starts, when you see this beautiful sign in the heavens. And this was the kickoff to this amazing battle between good and evil. The Bible calls the Battle of Armageddon. I will talk to you about that a little bit at the end, because somebody said I was stupid. I'm stupid. Well, the thing is, I think for myself, and the Lord has, the other thing is we listen to the Lord. That's the whole thing of the Great Awakening, is we listen to His Spirit in us, teaching us and guiding us into all truth. He promised He would guide us into all truth, but we have to listen. We have to study. The Bible says, I think it's 2 Timothy 2:14. It says, study to show yourself an approved workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's so important that we know the word of God and that we're able to divide it or explain it or understand it and say, what, this is right, this is wrong, this is truth, you know, whatever. You just understanding the word of God. It's so important. And I really encourage you guys to study yourselves, study on your own, not just what I have to say, but study to show yourself an approved workman who doesn't need to be embarrassed because they don't know the word of God. It's the most important thing. The most important thing that we can do is to understand God's word. So I just love it. And when you see verses like this, you're like, give me more of that. That is good stuff right there. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Skeeter Lane 69. Proud to be stupid here. Okay. The good thing is we are not stupid. We're listening to the Lord, and He has guided us all this time. I'm going to show you super quick. This is the books. that I have written. And just, you know, I never intended to write these books. I just never did. But I just had to put the research that we had compiled over all these years that we've been together and asking the Lord to guide us through. I had to compile them. And so this one, if you're new, this one is the decode, the true decode of Revelation. The true decode about end times. And if you don't read the book, that's okay. It's really good. It's really, I'm trying to make it super, super simple, but it's just $2.99 on Amazon. But the point is, it's the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. This is it. It's the end times, not for us. It's not, we're not headed into horrible days and the Holocaust and all that. No. We've had enough. We've had enough. And the whole point of the Great Awakening is that we would take action, rise up, and destroy our enemies. That's what we're doing. It's very exciting. And then this one right here is the Major Clues from Minor Prophets. If you want to learn more about what they told us was going to happen, especially about like silver and gold, about how we would rise up against them and how the Lord would awaken this great army. That's in the Major Clues from Minor Prophets. And then also this is biblical. This is when it's about how all the Bible stories were a roadmap for us. All these Bible stories that we have known all of our lives, or maybe some that you aren't familiar with, like Yael and Balaam and Gideon and some of these ones that maybe you're not as familiar with. The Lord told us that this day would come when all these things would play out before our eyes. It's really amazing. President Trump is like our Samson bringing down the temple on their heads. It's all in there for us as a roadmap. Who amazing. And then, like I said, I'll talk about the Golden Age here in just a little bit. Okay, so let's get started on what is going on with all these clues we're getting from President Trump. The first thing I want to talk about is what's going on in Minnesota? And this, who would have imagined that Minnesota would be the hotbed of where this thing would kick off? You know, and to be honest, I would expect it maybe to be in California, you know, or New York or whatever. But it's very interesting that it's in Minnesota that this is really the focal point right now of what is going on. And so, you know, kudos, hat tip to Nick Shirey, because he has really done an amazing job going all throughout Minneapolis and others in other towns and exposing what they are doing. I'm sure you guys have seen, I've been posting this all on social media. All my social media is on melissaredpill.com. And I try to make it where it's little clips so that you can easily share this. And please just continue doing so, sharing from my X account, which is Melissa Red Pill, or over on my other, you know, Telegram. And I've got Getter, and I've got True Social. Make sure that you share over there. Thank you to my wonderful team, Colleen and Cheryl and Tammy, that they work so hard to help get this truth out. Anyway, an amazing thing that Nick Shirey went and did this. He's exposing how they are using this incredible fraud system to steal all of this millions and millions and millions of dollars, and saying that they're doing this transportation. Have you seen this? This transportation of people who have, you know, sickness, or they need to go get groceries, or they have autism, and that this is all has to be on the, you know, our tax dollars, because these people are pitiful and they need help. There's nobody at the businesses. Nobody. You go there and, you know, sometimes you'll find a person, but there's no trucks, there's no children being taken care of, there's nothing like of the sort is happening. The only thing that they found was people to curse them out. That's all they found. And so I want you to see what this man, he's in here helping Nick to expose this. Let me see if I can get his video up right here. Millions of dollars of fraud. Check this out.
When a Somali goes to the doctor, magically, they forgot how to speak English, so they needed an interpreter there. So the county brings in an interpreter at $100 an hour, minimum 8 hours, to interpret what the doctor is telling the patient.
So that's another layer of fraud that nobody's even talked about or revealed.
And it's millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars all on its own. Interpreter services.
Yeah, because what percentage do you think of these people, especially if they were born here in the United States, they speak English, right?
Like, of course they do.
They should not be saying no English.
And then remember, the interpreter has to get to the doctor's office or the hospital. How are they getting there? The transportation company, and then they got to get back home. And that patient had to get to the doctor's office. How? Transportation. Kids got to get to school. How? Transportation. That's why I said the transportation is the hub of, really, I think, all of this. So when a Somali goes to the...
But the thing is, there's nobody being transported. It would be, to be honest, it would be bad enough if we're sitting here paying for people who are being driven around. You know, everybody needs to pay their own way, in my opinion. And, you know, but even if that were, if even if we said, okay, these people are so desperate, they're in such terrible straits, they need to be taken care of. If that were the case, there's nobody being driven around. He says he's seen, and they have the videos, you have to watch the whole thing. It's like an hour-long video. It's amazing. And they go from place to place to place, and there's no, you know, nobody getting on any of these services. You'll see all these cars that have these signs on them that they are the transport services. There's never anyone in them except for the driver. And then they're going to the store. They're getting all these groceries, and they're just hauling them home. And then they're getting paid unbelievable millions and millions of dollars. I'm sure you've already seen this also where it's talking about the suitcases loaded with cash, stacks and stacks of cash being sent out of the country. Well, you can only send $10,000 is the maximum. But somehow, because they are, you know, they're inside with the politicians, they're getting to send out millions of dollars. And it goes from this place to that place to, I don't know, the Emirates or whatever. And then they put it on a ship, I guess, to go to Somalia. I mean, this is an amazing find that they have had. And, of course, John Solomon also found out about the money that they're sending all over the world. It's really amazing. So this is the here's also the TSA whistleblower. I want you to see what he's talking about. He said $6 million per week. This, I'm hoping and praying this gets people's dander up, that they realize, hey, we've got to, this can't continue. We're sitting here struggling, and these people are just taking millions of dollars and taking it out of our country. This is the Ilhan Omar crowd. This is all for people. So check this one out.
At MSP Airport, and my recollection was from about 2015-16 to 2021 when I retired. I would get emails from our dispatch saying like two male Somali descent individuals. They would give us their names. They claimed the cash, that they had a large amount of cash at the checkpoints. We'd get all this information in an email, and it would, I believe they would send it right away. So TSA would contact our dispatch telling us this. Then our dispatch would relay the info via email to us.
And how much was the money?
The money, the smallest amount in a suitcase that I heard was like $750,000. But generally, it was anywhere from $1 million to $6 million in a suitcase. And there usually was, there, as far as I can remember, there was always two individuals traveling. So you would have maybe one guy with $2.2 million and another guy with $3 million. And
at airports, you're able to take $10,000 without declaring it. How are these guys able to take millions of dollars?
Because as far as I know, as long as they declared it, they were fine. So then TSA would contact HSI and Customs, and I'm sure they got the information. We got the information. My administration knew about it, and I trust that they sent that on to higher state officials on this, but nothing was ever done the whole time I was there. I talked to one individual. We were going after narcotic cash leaving the airport. This was always fraud. We had no nexus to that this cash was related to narcotics. So our hands were kind of tied. We couldn't do a whole lot.
How do you suspect these Somalians had millions of dollars to move in an airport?
We would rack our heads all the time, like, where are they getting this? Where in the world are they getting this money? And I had heard about these daycares and whatnot, but I mean, I thought at the time, okay, maybe they had 10 daycares, but apparently they have a lot more than that. We were all just racking our heads trying to figure this out.
So you openly saw just millions of dollars get moved through the out.
I saw one time I saw an open suitcase with the cash because we were looking into seeing if it was narcotics related, which it was not.
How much money do you think moved through the airport in your time?
Millions, literally millions and millions. I mean, we're talking for a good 5-6 years, you're talking, I don't know, 5 to 6 million a week. It would happen twice a week. You would get twice a week where there would be.
This is so outrageous. Thank you, Nick Shirley, whatever his name is, Nick Shirley. I really appreciate his how hard he has worked. And so President Trump just posted this because now he realizes, you know, everybody has seen this. ICE is removing some of the most violent criminals in the world and bringing them home where they belong. Why is Minnesota fighting this? Why would Minnesota? And it's not the people of Minnesota. I understand Minnesota people are not fighting this. And President Trump just exposed this too. He says, do they really want murderers and drug dealers to be ensconced in the community? The thugs that are protesting include many highly paid professional agitators and anarchists. Now, there are some silly women and men, I guess, who are going out there to join with them because they're brainwashed into thinking that, you know, ICE is doing something terrible, and they're caught up in all the fever of it. But a lot of them are highly paid professional agitators and anarchists. Is that really what Minnesota wants? Of course, the answer is no. The crooked governor and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who married her brother, don't mind because it keeps the focus of attention off the $18 billion fraud that has been taking place in the state. Don't worry, we're on it. So this is what President Trump is putting out there. So let's make sure. I just posted that on social media this morning. So make sure that you share all that so people see this is the truth of what's going on. Millions and millions and millions of dollars from your tax dollars and mine. I feel like you and me are the only ones paying taxes at this point. And, you know, that it all gets taken up there and then siphoned out of our country. And they're Bessent, I'm going to show you a video of Scott Bessent, Secretary of the Treasury, where he's saying that they are following the money and they know exactly where all of it went and all these houses that they've been purchased in Somalia and different places. So, yeah, all of this just siphoned out of our country. It's just so awful. All right, so, yeah, here is one of the next. I don't know if I have the Bessent video, but maybe, you know, I'll find that in just a second. But, all right. So then guess what? Dr. Oz goes up there. He goes up there and along with this man here, HHS Jim, I don't know what his last name is. He's the deputy HHS secretary. These guys go up there and the pathetic Somalians don't recognize him, either of them. Of course, they wouldn't recognize this, you know, the deputy HHS secretary, but they should recognize Dr. Oz. He is a household name. Everybody should know his face, but not the Somalians. They didn't recognize him, and so they went up there on a fact-finding mission, and they were chased out of the businesses. They were chased out. He says the fraudsters have become militant. Time for the FBI SWAT teams to start raiding. Playtime is over. Yes, amen to that. Amen. I want you to hear this. This is so, okay, O'Neill, Secretary O'Neill. So check this out. These people, I understand for them to say, okay, we're going to chase out, you know, Nick Shirley. I keep calling him Shari. I don't know why I do that. Anyway, but Nick Shirley, they're chasing him out. Well, okay, because they're saying, oh, you're sensationalizing and you're doing this because we're Muslims and we're black and blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, I'm just trying to stop the fraud. Well, then they have the very people from our government go up there, and they chase them out, too. It's crazy. This is from Liz Collin Report. Check it out.
It was definitely a vibe that they were just against anyone looking around, like hiding something, just even all the people in the parking lot.
Have you ever seen anything quite like this in your time?
No, nothing like this.
The mob mentality is stunning. And I don't even know if these folks are from Minnesota. These are professional agitators. They have a little network, not a little network, pretty big network from what I can tell. But we were only there for a minute or two, and there are already people showing up. and beginning to surround the cars we were in. And we got out there to look around. That didn't last very long. And why would you not want me to look? Like, what are you worried about?
It was definitely a vibe that they were.
I love this. I'm so thankful that it's, you know, imagine this, girls and boys. What? How awesome is this that we have true patriots who are running HHS who are not in on the fraud, who are actually in on exposing the fraud and actually putting themselves at risk. This is amazing. Amazing. I'm so just shocked at these amazing patriots. And then here is where it says the Somalian subpopulation. Dr. Oz posted this. The Somalian subpopulation who have different cultural mores than the folks who have historically been in Minnesota might be taking advantage of systems that were built for Minnesota nice people. That's what Dr. Oz says, yeah. So he's exposing this massive health care fraud in Minnesota. Heather, and also, you know, how they're saying that they're doing all this health care for people. They're not doing any health care for people, which may be better anyway, but never. But anyway, the other thing is they're saying that they're transporting people here and there. They're not doing any of that. All they're doing is taking the money, turning it into cash, sending the cash out to their people. And this whole thing is, it's quite the scam. Quite the scam. And I also posted a video. You can go find it on my social media. And I say, just look up the word Somali. It's not just Somalis who are doing this. I mean, the scam is outrageous. And I'm just, you know, hoping best it will find all this money and get it back. And that's, you know, what I believe is going to happen. All right. So here is where he was on, Dr. Oz was on Jan Jekalik. I don't know how to say his name. They uncovered all this fraud in Minnesota, but he says it's dwarfed by what's going on in California. A whole-scale cultural malfeasance. That's what I was saying. I was thinking, Minnesota? Really? It is leading us to California. So this is the amazing thing that President Trump has installed, these wonderful patriots like Dr. Oz, everybody up there. I'm telling you, I'm just so impressed by Kristi Noem. She is a fighter like I just can't even tell you. So exciting to see all that she is doing. Really a beautiful job that she's doing and refuses to back down, will not back down for anything. So it's very exciting. This is what President Trump is doing. And some people who don't understand it, you know, this is a piece by piece by piece. You know, like I said on the other day, I said it's like dismantling a bomb. You have to go very carefully, especially when you get on this international peace negotiations. You have to be super careful because they would love nothing more than to cause an international incident and cause this powder keg. And so, yeah. Actually, just before I came on, here it is, January 18th. Shocker. They're moving into phase two of the peace negotiations in Gaza. And guess what? Netanyahu's not happy about it. He says, no, we don't need to do that. We don't need to rebuild. We need to go in and have a bigger war than we ever had before. Of course he did. Of course he said that. Of course he did. All right, so the next thing that that President Trump is talking about is, here's another wonderful, amazing information from our wonderful president. He's exposing all this, and he is so happy to be right there on the front lines. And so our job is to support him by pushing this out there, all this truth. Look what he said. Trump has authority to send troops to Minneapolis to stop the attacks on ICE. I'm sure you have seen it. Also, I've been posting it all week, how they're attacking the ICE agents, hitting them in the head with shovels, ganging up on them. I mean, the whole thing is horrible. You know, they just can keep assaulting these ICE officers. And so I'll just hand it to them. I was just listening to one this morning saying, you know, we never thought in the world that we'd have to send police officers to protect police officers. So when we're going to, let's say, arrest a criminal, normally you would send out 5 people. Now we're having to send out 10 to protect the 5 police officers and keep away this horrible agitators. So, yeah, he has the authority to send troops into Minneapolis to stop all these attacks. So he posted that. And so that is one of the big the big things that I think is coming up is, you know, he's already deployed these troops. Now, some people are saying these are troops that were deployed by Governor Walz. That's not true. President Trump has deployed troops to Minneapolis, and he has the authority to do that. We've been talking about that for, you know, 7 years, and we didn't know, you know, to be honest, I would have thought that it would have been done during the BLM or different times, but I think that we're finally to this point, and they're always, you know, using our tax money again to pay these people to agitate, and they're getting paid big money for to do that, and it's so aggravating. So it makes you so angry that they're using our tax money for that. But then they're going to be, you know, we're going to have the Insurrection Act where they go in and put a stop to this, because this is ridiculous. All right. So here it's it. President Trump said this week, if the corrupt politicians of Minnesota don't obey the law and stop the professional agitators and insurrectionists from attacking the patriots of ICE, who are only trying to do their job, I will institute the Insurrection Act, which many presidents have done before me, and quickly put an end to the travesty that is taking place in that once great state. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Thank you, President Trump. Thank you, President Trump. All right. Yeah, everybody's like, do it. Let's do it. All right, so I want you to see that. That is what's going on in Minneapolis, as well as all throughout Minnesota. So just let's hold on tight and watch what happens next. Oh, okay. The other thing is, I've skipped some of these. Let me go back to the top because I want you to see this. So here is where the National Guard troops were mobilized in Minneapolis as Trump threatens to invoke the Insurrection Act. So I think it was 1,000. So, yes, thank you, Gateway Pundit, for posting that. And then here is where it's talking about the Insurrection Act. I want you to hear this one, this open rebellion. That's what insurrection is. Not what we did on January 6th to go and protest a fraudulent election. This is what the real insurrection is. Check this out.
Has officially reached a breaking point. While federal agents are working to dismantle massive fraud networks, they are being met with what can only be described as an open insurgency on the streets. The facts are blunt. Mobs are now engaging in direct combat with federal officers to block arrests and deportations. We're seeing coordinated Antifa tactics, spotters, digital tracking of ICE agents, and protesters using air horns and fireworks to keep officers from sleeping. And right on schedule, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is fueling the fire, calling the enforcement of federal law terrorism while dodging questions about her own potential involvement in the $9 billion Minnesota fraud scandal. But the feds aren't backing down. Under the Minnesota Protocol, hundreds of additional agents have arrived to protect the sovereignty of our country. They've already arrested over 1,000 criminals and gang members, including MS-13 associates. This is no longer just a policy debate. It's a fight against a sophisticated network of radicalized extremists determined to keep the borders open and the fraud money flowing. When politicians side with violent mobs over federal law enforcement, the sanctity of our nation is on the line. The lawlessness ends now. The debate is over. Do you stand with ICE?
That's right. So those are all great ones. I'm going to share this whole post with you over on the chat, and so you guys can go and share all this that's going on in Minnesota. So this is the beginning of the Insurrection Act we've been talking about forever and ever. And this is this amazing CFO of Florida, Blaise Ingoglia. He's calling to arrest these sanctuary city politicians like the Governor Walz and like this Fry guy. The mayor of Minneapolis, because they're liable as accessories to the crimes committed by the unhinged immigrants in their districts. Yes, arrest them. Here is where they're now under DOJ investigation. Check this out.
Breaking tonight, Fox News confirms the Justice Department is investigating Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry for allegedly impeding law enforcement efforts on the ground, again confirming that DOJ investigation.
That's right. And so it won't be that hard. They never thought they would get caught. They never thought anything would ever happen. And they were sloppy. They just followed the money. and it's easy enough to catch them in their crimes. Very, very exciting. And it makes me think that this guy, his last name is Soros. And so listen to what he has to say and watch the eyes of the guy behind him, because he's like, what are you talking about? What are you... It's shocking. He's like, couldn't believe that this guy, the things that are coming out of his mouth. This man, I think his last name is Soros. I'm just kidding, but he's a Soros minion for sure. Check this out.
And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street, to stand by their neighbors. We cannot be at a place right now in America where we have two governmental entities that are literally fighting one another. Why are we put in this position? We're put in this position because we have approximately 600 police officers in Minneapolis, far fewer that are able to work at...
Can you believe that guy said this? Literally, you're telling me this guy's a police officer. He says, you're telling me right now that you want me to go out and fight an ICE agent? Seriously? Did you see that guy's face? I want you to go back and look at it again. Okay, so check it out. This is the Soros guy, the fry guy. Check this out.
And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street, to stand.
Did you see those eyebrows go up? He's like, well, you're asking us to do what? You're asking us to do what? Fight ICE agents? This guy is a criminal. He's under DOJ investigation. This is the mayor of Minneapolis. And this police officer's like, what am I, who am I standing behind? And what am I supposed to be backing this guy up? Those eyebrows went up. He's like, I'm not doing that. None of my men are doing that. I don't know what you're talking about. You can go stand there and fight ICE if you want to, but we're not going to do it. It's outrageous. It's outrageous because they're saying, oh, you know, President Trump is out of control. These people are just, they're kind people and their parents, their families and all this. You're separating families. It's always the same thing. So, yeah, I think that was great. And did you hear the other thing? This is MS-13. This is why they let all these people in unvetted, because they have people who are very happy to do crimes. They love doing crimes 24/7. All right, so there, I want you to see all of that. That's everything. So he has the authority also to bring out the troops in the Insurrection Act. Okay, now, this was the last thing that I saw last night. Now they're showing up with firearms at the riots. Look at this guy sitting there with this gun. This is getting crazy. This is getting outrageous. So I hope something terrible doesn't happen before you know, President Trump sends in the troops. Yeah, Trump administration extended the Federalized National Guard mission in Washington, D.C. through December 31st, 2026, growing it to 2,429 troops from the D.C. Guard and 11 states. Launched in August 2025, that's when it was started. So he's extended this National Guard deployment to now 2,429 troops and into 11 states. There you go. I'll post that one. I'll give you the link to that one too. So this is all over on my, you know, on my social media. So yeah, this is a big deal. All right, here we go. So the next thing I wanted you to tell you about. Okay, here is the one where Scott Bessent is announcing. He was also announcing, was following the money with these politicians in Minnesota. But here he's talking about sanctions on the Iranian leaders. Now, this is so difficult. Like I said, one of my dear friends is Persian. She's from Iran. She came here because she could not deal with living under this brutal Islamic Khomeini regime. And so she came over here. And so I want you to hear what Scott Bessent has to say. But she's been just in tears for years and years and years. This happened 47 years ago. And she's been constantly praying for the restoration of Iran. So whenever you hear them say, oh, the people of Iran, they say death to America and all that. That is not the truth. They want to end the evil regime that has been running America. They don't want to have, like, where Carter supported Khomeini to come in and allowed the Shah of Iran to be ousted and overtaken, and all that money was in, and the oil was in the hands of Khomeini. That was under the Carter administration. And so because what they did, in my opinion, because of Americans have put them in there and allowed them to have all this power and money and supported this, and it's, and I'm sure have taken millions and billions of dollars, you know, off the top back in all their corruption, they need it. It's on America to get them out. It's on America to get them out. She finally, my dear friend, finally saw that this week. And she says, it dawned on me, I guess because we've been talking so long, she finally, I don't know how it dawned on her, but she realized that this was the fault of this evil, whatever you call it, the cabal operatives in America that allowed Iran to be overtaken. And so they need to be the, you know, ones to remove this, these horrible people. And so she agreed with that. Anyway, so here is what he's saying, how they are dismantling. Listen to this very carefully. How are they dismantling this evil regime? President Trump, by what Scott Bessent is saying, agrees that it is our responsibility to remove these people from power. How do you do it when they are entrenched and they have all this access to all this money and power? Okay, so this is what how he says they're doing it.
My message today is to the Iranian leadership on behalf of the people of Iran who cannot speak for themselves. Last March, we predicted that President Trump's maximum pressure campaign against the Iranian regime would accelerate an economic collapse.
Okay, before he goes on, I want you to make sure that you hear that. He says President Trump has been working toward fighting against the regime, not the Iranian people. When you hear Iranian sanctions on Iran, don't think about it's against the people. It's always against the ones at the top, the Iranian regime, okay? And so this is what this campaign, it's like a war campaign to how do you remove them from power? Well, you have to remove their money. And, of course, the people of Iran, it affects them too. That sadly, okay? So I want you to hear it one more time. Hear what he has to say.
Speak for themselves. Last March, we predicted that President Trump's maximum pressure campaign against the Iranian regime would accelerate an economic collapse. Since then, our sanctions efforts have been effective in slashing oil exports and cutting revenue. The currency and living conditions are in freefall. The early warning signs are already flashing in the Iranian economy. The regime continues to egregiously mismanage its economic resources with additional subsidies and price controls. The central bank is broke and printing money. Hyperinflation is next. Rather than building a prosperous Iran, the regime has chosen to squander what remains of the nation's oil revenues on nuclear weapons development, missiles, and terrorist proxies around the world. Civilian.
Okay, and in my opinion, Iran and the leadership in Iran and the Zionists are one and the same. They you do this and I'll do this and we'll start all this you know this ruckus and this war, and so it's all rigged, it's all a game, and the poor people of Iran are the ones who are suffering because of it. But the point is, President Trump, how do you dismantle this terrible regime? And you see, it's you know, by hitting them where it hurts, which is in their pocketbook. Unfortunately, the it affects the people as also, and they are struggling. Literally, their money went to zero value compared to you know, as far as an exchange rate with the euro. It has zero value. I mean, how do you have zero value? Because it just, they have, as he said here, they printed money and they have, they've squandered all this and turn the money into being worthless. There, it's really terrible what's going on in Iran, and I hope and pray this happens quickly because the people are suffering terribly. So I just, you know, trust the plan, and I know it's awful. It's awful. It's what's going in so many places. It's awful, whether it's Venezuela and what, you know, thankfully President Trump, I'm going to talk about that here in just a second too, but all the things that President Trump is doing to set Venezuela right. But Iran is a little bit different, especially because of its location, and President Trump is working on having them be just their power removed because their finances are removed. I hope that's making sense.
Iranians are rightly protesting mismanagement and economic collapse. President Trump stands with the people of Iran and has ordered Treasury to sanction members of the regime. Iran's leaders have brutally responded to peaceful demonstrations with violence, from mass shootings in the street to attacks on wounded victims in hospitals. Today's sanctions target 18 individuals and entities that the regime uses to evade sanctions on Iranian oil and divert proceeds from its energy sales away from the rightful owners, the Iranian people. Tehran's natural resources belong to its people and not its brutal dictators. Treasury will continue to target Iranian networks and corrupt elites that enrich themselves at the expense of average Iranian. This includes the regime's attempts to exploit digital assets to evade sanctions and finance cyber criminal operations. Additionally, President Trump has announced a 25% tariff on countries that continue to do business with Iran. Our message to the Iranian people is clear. Your demands are legitimate. You are protesting for a noble cause, and the United States supports you and your efforts to peacefully oppose the regime's mismanagement and brutality. Our message to the Iranian leaders is also clear. U.S. Treasury knows that, like rats on a sinking ship, you are frantically wiring funds stolen from Iranian families to banks and financial institutions around the world. Rest assured, we will track them and you, but there's still time if you choose to join us. As President Trump has said, stop the violence and stand with the people of Iran.
All right. Thank you so much. Isn't this beautiful that our leadership with President Trump and Scott Bessent and Rubio, they are working to dismantle this evil regime that has hijacked Iran instead of working to put them in power and to steal the money from the people. It's a beautiful thing. And we've talked about this, you know, many times before, especially in the book End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. We talk about the verse that says, nation will not rise against nation, and neither will they train for war anymore. This is in this book right here, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. I talk about that this is what we're in the golden age. We will... And also I talk about in the Golden Age book too, that we will not have war because the nations will actually have good leaders that are installed by the Lord Jesus himself, and who will work for the good of the people using the minerals, the oil, the everything in the country for the good of the people, and not to be used by the people at the top and just for them to steal all the wealth from the people. And so Iran will be free. It's just awful what they're going through. And it just hopefully it's very, very soon that this is going to be resolved. And so they're putting every bit of pressure on them. And also, President Trump is the tariff king. He's Mr. Tariff and he's the tariff king. I like them both. I like both titles. But he is tariffing 25% on any country that helps Iran at this time. Like, we're going to, you know, have every bit of pressure on them so that the people of Iran are set free. So thank you so much, President Trump. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, and just bless the people of Iran and give them the courage and the strength to keep going until they are set free. They have been under this terrible, brutal regime for so long. Now, President Trump also posted, I love this, Treasury will use every tool to target those behind the regime's tyrannical oppression of human rights. Thank you so much. That's just wonderful. Now, I think it's not on this one. Let me see if I can find it. No, that's the different one. Okay, so before we go on, I also have a President Trump posted this week that that he was respected the leaders of Iran who canceled the hangings. They were going to have literal hangings of 800 people, and he said he respected that they had canceled that. I guess under extreme pressure, they knew they better not do this. When what I believe was happening is people were being shot from rooftops, and they blamed, the leadership blamed, I posted a video about this over on the social media, that they blamed the Mossad. They said, oh, that was Mossad that did that. Well, again, that goes back to who are they working with? The Iran regime works hand in hand with Mossad. And they had, how did Mossad get in their country? How did they get on these rooftops? How could they go in and shoot people? And they said that people were being shot, this is horrible, but they were being shot in the head, and they could tell by the trajectory that the bullet was going straight down into their bodies. It was, you know, imagine this huge sea of people, and they're on the roof. It was just like a shooting gallery, and they were just having, you know, just their gleeful, demonic fun. It's absolutely awful. And so President Trump posted, you know, thank you for canceling the 800 hangings that they were going to do. And so as Besant was saying, that the brutality is off the chain, over the top, and not so different from what has been going on in Gaza. And thank God for the peace coming into Gaza and going into phase two on that. Praise the Lord for that. We've been praying for that for so long. And so I want to give praise to the Lord for that, and that we're to that point. I just pray that very, very soon the same thing will happen in Iran. Iran has been a little bit different, that they have not gone through and just bombed everything to smithereens like they did in Gaza. Oh, these people are demons. They've got to go. They've got to be cast out of the earth. Now, the next thing is about President Trump and Machado. Now, the jury was out on her, and it's like, who do you think she's a good, or what do you think? Now, let me just start at the beginning. Here is where she is talking about that she really admires President Trump, and that she has this unique commitment. She's giving it to him because of his unique commitment to Venezuelan freedom. All right, so I'll tell you the end before I get to that point. But he said how much he appreciated her and said she was a good woman, and that he had never met her before, but he could tell that she was a very good woman that really loved Venezuela. So I'll tell you what I'm thinking is happening with this Nobel Prize that she passed along to him. Okay. So the first thing is I want you to hear, first of all, what Machado had to say about President Trump and passing along to him this Nobel Prize. And they're like, well, that doesn't mean he really gets the Nobel Prize. And this is what I said. I said, listen, I would rather get a prize from a leader that was elected, duly elected by the people of Venezuela, than from these blowhards in Norway or wherever it is that they're, you know, the globalist cabal blowhards. They would want to give it to anybody except for Trump, because they don't want President Trump to get any accolades for stopping all these wars all over the world. Who deserves the Peace Prize more than him? Because he's the one who stopped 8 wars in 8 months. It's really, it shows you right there that that's all there is to it. That these people are, they just hate Trump because he's stopping their trafficking. He's stopping their making money on these wars. He's stopping all their demonic fun. But anyway, this is what Machado, the former, let me back it up. She was the duly elected leader of Venezuela, but then she had to escape. I think she was in somewhere in Europe hiding out because of Maduro would not leave office, and he had a bounty on her head. So let's listen to what she has to say.
Did you offer to President Trump your Nobel Peace Prize?
I presented the President of the United States the medal, Nobel Peace Prize, and I told him this. Listen to this. 200 years ago, General Lafayette gave Simón Bolívar a medal with George Washington placed on it. Bolívar since then kept that medal for the rest of his life. Actually, when you see his portraits, you can see the medal there. And it was given by General Lafayette as a sign of the brotherhood between the United States, people of the United States, and the people of Venezuela in their fight for freedom against tyranny. And 200 years in history, the people of Bolívar are giving back to the heir of Washington a medal, in this case, a medal of the Nobel Peace Prize, as a recognition for his unique commitment with our freedom.
I know that video is so bad, but I hope you could hear what she had to say. So, this has been done before. And someone has been given their medal to someone who they felt was deserving, and that's exactly what she did. So yeah, President Trump will bring peace to the entire world, in my opinion. As he has said before, peace is the prize. He says, it was my great honor to meet Maria Corina Machado of Venezuela today. She's a wonderful woman who's been through so much. Maria presented to me with her Nobel Peace Prize for the work I have done. Such a wonderful gesture and mutual respect. Thank you, Maria. And so here he's meeting with Maria Machado. Who won the vote, but Maduro refused to relinquish power. Now, some people are saying that she is controlled by Israel. Now, let me just say this. Oh, I'm tickling my nose. Some people would say that, and that she has said about something about, different things about Israel. This is my opinion. And even Pahlavi, and I don't have the video of this, but Pahlavi, the crown prince of Iran, the son of the Shah of Iran, has said that he would, he talks about Israel, going to Israel, bringing peace in Israel and all this. That does not mean that they are pro-Zionist. That does not mean that she is pro-Zionist. They would say what they have to say to make sure to bring peace to the people. And not to say that they would do anything wrong, but they would work with whoever they had to work with to bring this peace. All right, so here is the Peace Prize. A Venezuelan activist gifts Trump her Nobel Prize. And let's just be honest, by all accounts, everyone believes that President Trump is the one who deserves this Peace Prize. But there's chatter that something potentially is behind this Nobel Prize that she was transferring to him, that he could take off the back of it, and there might be some kind of thumb drive, there might be some kind of something inside there, some chip in there that gives him the information that he needs to have evidence against those who've done crimes in Venezuela. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. It's a unique take, kind of like the soccer ball with Putin. It's like everybody was always wondering what was in that soccer ball. So maybe it was. I believe that President Trump has it all. He knows all this information anyway. But yes, I thought that was a beautiful gesture that she had. And here is what President Trump had to say about her.
Maduro regime, and not with Machado, who has the support of the Venezuelan people.
Well, if you ever. Remember a place called Iraq where everybody was fired, every single person, the police, the generals, everybody was fired, and they ended up being ISIS. Instead of just getting down to business, they ended up being ISIS. So I remember that. But I'll tell you, I had a great meeting yesterday by a person who I have a lot of respect for, and she has respect, obviously, for me and our country, and she gave me her Nobel Prize. But I'll tell you what, I got to know her. I never met her before, and I was very, very impressed. She's a really, this is a fine woman.
I love that. Okay, so I want you to see what President Trump had to say about her. A very telling point that he made, that when Iraq had been taken over, they fired everyone, and so basically, the bad guys came in, of course, under Bush. And so you've got to be so careful that you don't go in and cause even more upheaval in the administration when you try to bring in all these other people. It's what he's trying to do is control the ones who are there. And so he's basically, it's in response to the question, I don't know if someone asked this question, but really, is Machado going to be installed, put into power? You know, maybe they did ask that question. But either way, is that really what's going to happen? And so the issue is, you've got to be very careful about how you do this, regime change. You know, the CIA has done that all over the world, and it has caused so much upheaval, so much trouble and strife all over the world. He said, "You've got to be very careful about how that is done." And so, to take out the entire regime that's there and to put in the Machado regime could actually cause more trouble. And so that's why he's talking about. So we'll see, step by step, and he's got the patience of Job, because I want this, I just want to rip the Band-Aid off and get everything sorted out. But it takes a little bit more time than that. Okay. It's like cooking soup. It takes time for everything to come together. All right. So I want you to see that amazing clue from Venezuela. All right. So this one was funny. This is all these people from Greenland who are so upset about President Trump. You can tell they are there after they had this discussion with President Trump. They were all having to go get a smoke because they were stressed out about him. And I think that we weren't in there to hear what he had to say. But the bottom line is, President Trump he holds the cards. He holds the Trump card by everyone's account. He's the one, as he has been saying, he has been paying for NATO for all this time. The lion's share has been paid, not him, but our country has been paying for all the protection of all these European countries for all these years. And now all of a sudden they don't want him to be able to control Greenland and to put our military bases over on Greenland. Well, we're the ones who've been paying your way for all these years. For years and years and years. So, yeah, they're all out there having a smoke. It's awesome. Trump has declared that anything less than Greenland becoming part of the U.S. territory is unacceptable. So I want you to see what else is going on. Here's this is a massive win. She is saying that it's official. President Trump will now move forward with acquiring Greenland through having technical talks with Danish Greenland officials. Yeah, we're just moving forward. Just one step at a time. And they could tell during this meeting that was what was going to happen. First of all, they came to meet him at the White House. That tells you a lot right there. And so really, who's the one who holds the Trump card? Of course, President Trump. So check this out. I want you to hear what she has to say.
Greenland, Jeff Landry, the president's special envoy for Greenland, wasn't in the White House meeting yesterday. Can you say why that was and what exactly the role he is playing in these conversations about acquiring Greenland?
Well, the vice president and the secretary of state were present for that meeting. It was a productive meeting. It was a good meeting. And in that meeting, the two sides agreed to really establish a working group of individuals who will continue to have technical talks on the acquisition of Greenland. Those talks will take place, I'm told, every 2 to 3 weeks. So this is a conversation the administration intends to keep having with the Danes and with the respected delegation from Greenland. But the president has made his priority quite clear. He wants the United States to acquire Greenland. He thinks it's in our best national security to do that.
All right. So it's done. It's a done deal. And they're just having meetings on working out all the logistics and the details. Okay, so there's President Trump putting that in his cart, his Amazon cart. And so, put on there, there's no shipping charge. President Trump is so funny. All right, and so now he's saying he's threatening to impose tariffs on any nation that does not support his acquisition of Greenland. Check this out.
25% tariff, which is, by the way, about 7 times more than they would have to pay by raising their drug, like 7 times. This wasn't like a little bit more, 7 times more. And I may do that for Greenland, too. I may put a tariff on countries if they don't go along with Greenland, because we need Greenland for national security. So I may do that. I'll give you a little, I'll take you out of the, in fact, that'll end up being the story. But actually, this is a much bigger story because we're reducing healthcare by numbers that you haven't seen.
This was actually just a side note that he said when they were in their discussion about the healthcare, because the whole thing about the healthcare that he's doing is putting it into our hands. The money will be in our hands instead of these people having control over it and just handing us out, like doling it out pennies to us, and where we don't get the health care that we need. He says, we'll have control of it. The money will come to us. So I wanted you to see that was going on in Greenland. Here is what they ended up putting. Did you guys see this? They ended up putting some of their troops, and President Trump had just been joking about this, that you got all these, you know, they got three dog sleds to support Greenland and to protect Greenland. Greenland is such a hugely important strategic location, especially in the Arctic. Literally, when you just, you know, just a hop and a skip and you'll be in Russia going, you know, across the Arctic. So he announces 10% tariffs on all these countries, just like he was just now saying, just like we were talking about. He's going to put 10% tariff on the Denmark, Norway, Sweden, France, Germany, UK, Netherlands, and Finland from February 1st, increasing to 25% on June 1st until a deal is reached. So, yeah, there. Can you imagine them going over there? I don't know if they really have sent over these troops or not, but I think it's funny. Yeah, we got the dog sleds. You go ahead. His move is to tariff them. So, yeah, there you go. And I think that they will cry like a baby and say, okay, never mind. Take it. Take Greenland. We don't care. So, he's imposing all these tariffs until the deal is struck. He does not play around. Our tariff king does not play around. I want you to hear what Stephen Miller says. They've been freeloading, just like I was saying before. We've been paying their way for all this time. And so they've been freeloading off America's defense. They cannot defend Greenland. It's unfair to the American taxpayer who has subsidized all of Europe's defense for generations. Check this out.
Navigation, lanes of travel in the polar and Arctic. Greenland is essential for America's national security. The new domain of international competition is going to be polar competition. That is where more and more resources are being spent by our nation's adversaries and rivals, is the ability to control movement, navigation, lanes of travel in the polar and Arctic regions. Greenland is 25% larger than Alaska. Greenland is the size of 1/4 the continental United States. With respect to Denmark, Denmark is a tiny country with a tiny economy and a tiny military. They cannot defend Greenland. They cannot control the territory of Greenland. Under every understanding of law that has existed about territorial control for 500 years, to control a territory, you have to be able to defend a territory, improve a territory, inhabit a territory. Denmark has failed on every single one of these tests. So they want us to spend hundreds of billions of dollars defending a territory for them that is 25% bigger than Alaska at 100% American expense. But they say, while we do this, it belongs 100% to Denmark. It's a raw deal. It's an unfair deal. And most importantly, it's unfair to the American taxpayer who have subsidized all of Europe's defense for generations now. American dollars, American treasure, American blood, American ingenuity is what keeps Europe safe and the free world safe. And Donald Trump's insisting that we be respected, Sean.
Love that. Thank you, Stephen Miller. He is amazing. Such a great spokesman. So, yeah, this is the issue. The Danes cannot protect the Greenland. Come on. They can't even protect themselves. We've been paying their way and protecting Denmark. So, you know, how dare they say that, this belongs to us. By what power? You can't even protect it. And so then if the Chinese or the Russians came in and they said that they wanted it, could you do anything to stop them? No. And so President Trump is this is going to happen. this is already a done deal. And so whether they like it or they don't like it, here is our wonderful president. Check this out.
People of Greenland, this is your new war chief, Donaldson Trump Paulson. We will make Greenland green again. All the Legos you want to play, all the battle axes you want to sharpen, and cool, horny helmets for everybody, except the Mexicans. This is going to be a great Valhalla. We will make Valhalla great again. We will not let the Russians or the Chinese or the Mexicans take over this land, this beautiful land, this green land. the greenest, actually. May Odin be my witness. What a great witness he is. We're great friends, by the way. Ragnarok, everybody.
I have no idea. Okay, somebody put in the chat what that means. Of Ragnarok, I have no idea what he said. It must be something like, have a great day. I don't know what it is, what it means. So, yeah, I love that. So whoever made that, kudos to them. All right, so now let's see. The next thing. Okay, so we've done Greenland. Okay, now let's do Canada. Let's talk about Canada. Look at this. These people are such lawless people. And, you know, first of all, the guy, you know, the Minneapolis mayor, talking about how we're going to have the police fighting ICE agents. Now this guy is saying that we're going to have a new world order. Now I want you to follow this guy's, look at this guy's face next to him. This is the Prime Minister of Canada basically working a deal with China when he wouldn't work out something with President Trump, and now he wants to basically be the lapdog of the CCP. So this guy, look at his face. You're gonna flip when you see his face. He's like, what are you talking about? We're not gonna be part of the new world order. And he knows the words. When he says the words new world order, he slows down. He knows exactly what he's saying. Check this out.
As you mentioned, mine is the first visit of a Canadian prime minister to China in nearly a decade. The world has changed much since that last visit. And I believe the progress that we have made in the partnership sets us up well for the new world order. It's a partnership with new focus and greater depth and a sense of purpose. And I look forward to realizing its promise and building on it in the years to come. Partnership that leverages our strengths to create greater stability, security, sustainability, and prosperity for all our peoples. And I look forward to this working session to advance those objectives. Thank you very much. As you mentioned...
Well, there you go. There you go. Did you see that guy's, the look on that guy's face when he talked about the new world order? So and he's like, what is this new world order? I'm going to show you his face again. So he's listening. Then here he goes.
A decade. The world has changed much since that last visit. And I believe the progress that we have made in the partnership sets us up well.
For what's the his new face?
World order.
Like what? What? What are you talking about, dude? The new world order. He could not help himself but for his head to jerk to the side. He's like, what are you talking about? I need to move it. You gotta watch this. This guy's like, what are you talking about?
For the new world order.
What? All these people who are, you know, saying they're going to be, you know, standing beside these mayors of Minneapolis or this prime minister of Canada, they don't realize. It's like that was the moment they realized these people were working with the devil. They're working with the cabal. They're working with against the freedom of the Canadian people, the constitutional rights of the people of Minnesota. All right, this is awesome. I just love that this guy, he couldn't help himself but have this huge reaction. So what is this New World Order? Obviously, it's where everything goes to the criminal cabal. All of the trade has to go through them. You don't make trade directly with China. You don't make trade directly with any of these other countries. You have to go through them and make where they get the cut off the top, where they are the middleman, where everyone in all these countries is a serf, a slave, basically, to them, and that they get all this money, and that they can do their trafficking, they can do all their wars, they can do whatever they want to do, and that no one can stop them. That's what they want as the new world order, that they go, everything goes through the World Trade Organization, everything goes through their money system, their SWIFT system. That's what they want, and that's over. We're not doing that anymore. As you see very clearly, how are things being resolved? It's through tariffs. President Trump is putting tariffs on anyone who is not willing to work in a reasonable way. Imagine you're sitting here paying the way of someone who's, you know, living under your roof, and then they come in and make demands on you of what you should do and how you should do it. You're like, no, we're not doing that anymore. That was your new world order, but we're not playing any of that anymore. So I really appreciate President Trump and how hard he's working. So they are setting up this new relationship with China, with not really, I don't think Xi Jinping, but with the CCP. So check this out again with the new world order talk.
Canada and China, this new partnership sets us up well for the new world order. What did you mean by that? What is the new world order?
Well, it's a great question, Brian, because I think the world is still determining what that order is going to be. And let's be clear what we're talking about first and foremost, which is what are the trading, what is going to govern global trade? What is the role of the WTO going to be? How important are bilateral deals such as the one we're developing, plurilateral deals, if I can use that term, Trans-Pacific Partnership, potential linkages between Trans-Pacific Partnership and the EU. Where is financial regulation, payment system regulation going to fit into that? All of these aspects, the architecture, the multilateral system that has been developing these is being eroded.
I love it. Okay, he's admitting that President Trump is dismantling the cabal system. That's exactly what he's doing. And you know how was what he was saying, the how we're going to trade, how we're going to do all these financial transactions, how we're going to do, you know, the legal framework around obviously trafficking, etc. He didn't say that word, but that's I'm going to say that. All that, he says, is what we have set up, this multilateral, you know, whatever the word was, basically the cabal, how the cabal has set all this up for themselves to be enriched and to be in control. He said that's being undercut. That's President Trump. Thank you, Lord. For President Trump, he is destroying their control system over the entire world. And it's very, very exciting to see. Thank you, President Trump, for everything that you do for us. So, yeah, I want you to see that. That's what this guy, he's a minion of the cabal. Hello, everybody knows that. All right, so, yeah, so he's over here. And, of course, the people of Canada, I guess, have awakened to realize that he does not represent them. He represents represents the cabal. And so this picture is where he's, you know, being the lapdog of Xi Jinping. In my opinion, it's really better to say that, of course, they're not going to have a picture of a CCP operative. But yeah, he's the lapdog of the CCP, which is the cabal. Okay. And so, yeah, they, instead of being the 51st state, which we knew this because this guy is a minion of the cabal. All right, and I think that everyone in Canada is realizing that too. Actually, the Albertans were in a long line to sign this petition saying that they wanted to become the 51st state. And they were like, why does Greenland get to be, American and we don't? So, yeah, watch and see what happens on that. I do. I feel sorry for the Canadians too. It's a bad deal. But, you know, but I also feel bad for the people of Iran. But they'll be set free. Gaza will be completely free. Venezuela will be completely free. We're just in the process, moving in the right direction, finally, thank God. All right, now, they also, this was a huge clue from President Trump. Someone at, who was it? The fake news Wall Street Journal? Yeah, the fake news Wall Street Journal announced that Jamie Dimon, whom I like to call Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, that he was going to be the new Fed chair. He's not going to be the Fed chair ever. He will never be the Fed chair, never. And so he confirms that he'll be suing JP Morgan for debanking him after the January 6th protest. Now, you might see him in a meeting with Jamie Dimon, and it looks like they're friends and everything's great, but he goes and he has the meetings and he does, you know, what he has to do to make sure things are moving along for the good of the American people. And maybe Jamie Dimon benefits from some of those things. But eventually, all this will come down around their ears. And I think that's a big part of that is this, what's going on with the silver. Anyway, here I'll read a portion of this to you guys of what President Trump just posted yesterday. A front page article in the fake news Wall Street Journal states, without any verification, that I offered Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase the job of Fed chairman. This statement is totally untrue, and there will never be such an offer. And in fact, I'll be suing J.P. Morgan Chase over the next 2 weeks for incorrectly and inappropriately debanking me after the January 6th protest, a protest that turned out to be correct for those who doing the protesting. The election was rigged. Why wouldn't the Wall Street Journal call me to ask whether or not such an offer was made? I would have very quickly told them no. That would have been the end of the story. Also, one was led to believe that I offered Jamie Dimon the job of Secretary of the Treasury. But that would be one that he would be very interested in. The problem is I have Scott Bessent doing a fantastic job, a superstar. Why would I give it to Jamie? No such an offer was made there or even thought of either. The Wall Street Journal ought to do better fact-checking or its already strained credibility will continue to dive. Thank you for your attention to this matter. All right, so I want you to see, yeah, not going to be the Fed chair. He's not going to be the Secretary of Treasury. Not going to happen. And so here's the latest on the silver. Let's see what is going on with the silver this morning. Is that the current number? $90.86. It's amazing. Silver and gold will destroy the Fed. Silver and gold will destroy the Fed bankers. It's a beautiful thing to watch their downfall. And I think, again, it's just got to cook like that soup I was talking about before. I think by March, with the silver and the gold continuing to go up and their short positions that they have to meet those margin calls, they won't be able to do it. They and the Iran leadership and all these ones in power will lose their power because their money will vanish. All that they've worked for will turn to ashes, like the Bible says. So it's very, very, very good news. All right, so I want you to see that. Okay, so that was something else I wanted to show you. Oh, I want you to see this about what this guy said about the Nobel Peace Prize. Check this out.
Because the NSA...
Uh-oh, hang on.
Rogue CIA agents, they surveil everything he says and does. So the only way to pass secret messages is through objects. So I'm betting that behind that Nobel Peace Prize plaque is a thumb drive. And the thumb drive has on it the location of Maduro's secret blue diamonds.
Okay, I'm sorry. This volume is terrible. I have it cranked up to the very top, but that's the one who was bringing out that, you know, what is really behind this plaque, and is there some kind of secret information behind that? And I would not be surprised if that is the case. All right, so I told you earlier that I have been called stupid. So I am very happy to have a discussion with anyone at any time. And so this was actually on one of my posts that I had put over on my ex account. And so this was Bo Polny's response. He said, "What utter stupidity. This fool believes we are currently in the Battle of Armageddon." Yeah, so this is, so this is the thing. You know, maybe I'm right and maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know that I'm stupid or a fool. And so I think that was not nice, Mr. Polny. I don't appreciate that. I don't think that was nice. So this is, you know, as I've said before, you are welcome to come over and have a discussion with me and we can discuss it. I think we do have, to be honest, I do think we have a lot of things that we would agree on about what is going on in this world, that I would just have the opinion that this is the battle of Armageddon. This is the battle between good and evil and that we are at the verge of defeating our enemies. That's what I believe. And so, I believe after having written 4 books about it and chock full of scripture, I think that maybe I have a reason for the hope that lies in me, as God's word says. You know, and as I said earlier, to study to show yourself an approved workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm going to post this in the chat for you guys. And if you wanted to go over there and just say, you know, this is Melissa knows what she's talking about, and maybe you disagree with her. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's wrong. But she's not stupid, and she's not a fool. And she is looking at these things from a biblical standpoint. And maybe she disagrees with the common narrative, the narrative that has been pummeled throughout our churches. But maybe. Maybe she's right. So anyway, I just wanted you to see that. And I'm not angry. I'm not, hurt feelings or whatever, but I'm happy for him to have, for us to have a conversation, as I have said many times before. So anyway, I'm not, I'll always be respectful and not call someone stupid or a fool. All right. So check this out. I love this song. This is my new song. Listen to the words of this song. I think it's for a Scottish ballad. And I just want you to hear the words, because it really it's just so encouraging that we will have our home again. Think of this if you're in Iran or Venezuela or Gaza or Canada or wherever, that we will have our America, have our home again, Minnesota. We will have everything set right. And I think this is great. So I'm going to play the whole thing, because it just brought tears to my eyes and made me so happy. So check this out.
Left but the fire in my chest and the air that fills my lungs. I'll hold my tears and trade my ears for a glimpse at kingdom come. On the other side of misery, there's a world we long to see. The strife we share will take us there to relief and sovereignty. Oh my God, again by God will. Oh my Lord, and there yet by God will have our home. In our own towns we're foreigners now, our names are spat and cursed. The headline smack of another attack, not the last and not the worst. Oh, my fathers, they look down on me. I wonder what they feel to see their noble sons driven down beneath a coward's heel. Oh, my God, we'll have our home again. My God, we'll. Dark, the way is lost, my eyes they strain to see. I struggle forth to find a friend to light the way for me. Oh, brothers, can you hear my voice, or am I all alone? If there's no fire to guide my way, then I will start my own. Oh my God, our home again, my God will. Oh, my blood sweat with death, there yet fire will have our home. Oh my God will have our home again, my God will have our home. My blood sweat will get there yet, my God will have.
I love that song. I know the quality, the sound quality was not that great. I know it was kind of hard to understand, but just this, the words to it just made my heart fill with hope. We will get there yet. We'll have our home back. And I'd love that it was on, it appears that this is on the ICE website, join.ice.gov. And that is the heart of these people who are out there, willing to be attacked. And, Lord, please protect all of our ICE agents who are out there trying to set things right in our country, not only in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wherever, in all over the country. So thank God for them and everything that they are doing. So definitely check into all the great information I have over on my website. Definitely check into the end times information if you have not checked into it, because you know what? It's maybe a good idea to, instead of calling someone a name, go in and say, hey, let me just see what she has to say. Maybe this lady knows something. Maybe she has a reason for what she believes. Maybe. All right, so you can also listen to the audiobooks here and listen to the books and listen to tons and tons and tons of scripture and just see, you know, if this is what God's word actually does teach. Don't forget, check out the social media. It's all right here. Join with us and make sure that your bell is rung so you notice when we are getting, putting a video out. And also here are the great health links. Definitely check into the natural remedies. We're going to have our health back. Definitely check into all these ways that you can treat things the way that our ancestors did, not with chemicals, but with natural things. And also how you can detox. Make sure that every day, don't forget to spray every day, you guys, with this. There's a special on here that you can get on the detox page that you can get, for, I think, for $13 to try it and see how it's going to the cellular level to detox. And also don't forget to do your smoothie with your green smoothie. And I put strawberries in it, and I put protein powder in it, put all kinds of things in it on my smoothie page. But definitely take care of yourself and check out how you can learn more about all of that, as well as how you can support our wonderful Mike Lindell, mypillow.com/Melly. He's got specials on pillows right now. So if you're like me, you're like, okay, it's time to get some new pillows because these are kind of looking sad. So definitely get some new pillows from him to support him, as well as you can check out the Q Broadcast. Wonderful. It's doing great. They now have DVR on the Q Broadcast. So definitely check into that. Okay. I think that's it. It's everything I wanted to show you. Oh yeah. Here it is right here. The information about the Q Broadcast. So let's pray. And then we're going to jet. Thank you again, Lord. I praise you. And we thank you that you are setting everything right in this world. Thank you, Lord, that nation will not rise against nation, and neither will they train for war anymore. All the things that the enemy is doing, they know they have little time, and they're being exposed by whether they're saying New World Order or fighting ICE, and the police are to fight ICE. Everybody's eyebrows are going up. Everybody's going, what are they talking about? I just pray, Lord, that you just continue to use us to help awaken the people. Thank you that you've called us into this battle, this great battle of Armageddon and a great battle of good versus evil. And thank you, Lord, that you have helped us to understand what's going on. And thank you for our wonderful president who's on the front lines always, and that we stand right behind him and to support him and what he is doing. We thank you and we praise you that we will see these beautiful days where our enemies will be gone from us, and that we will have amazing health and peace all over the world. We look forward to this day when Iran will be free and Canada will be free and Greenland will be free and Venezuela will be totally free and Gaza will be rebuilt. This beautiful golden age that we are entering into, we praise you and thank you for this beautiful day that's coming. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. Oh, I promised you I would read some of this to you, and I never did. So I wanted to read a little bit super quick out of the Golden Age. And I know I'm too long today, but that's okay. That's okay. So I wanted you to see, this is again the one on joy. And so this is the thing that is so, when I was researching joy, I wanted you to see this super quick. And before we go, if you look here, you'll see that I've highlighted several sections. It says, then all flesh will know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And it says it again in Isaiah 60. And it says it again in this verse. And it says, this will happen, and then you will know that I am Yahweh. This will happen, and then you will know that I am Yahweh. This will happen, and then you will know that I am Yahweh. It's like all these things that are going to happen to destroy the works of darkness are going to happen before our eyes, and we will know the Lord did this for us. The Lord rescued us, and they will know it too. And there's a passage in here. It talks about that they will be so, the Lord is telling the satanic criminal cabal, there'll be no escape for them. Whatever they attempt to do in order to escape justice will fail miserably because the Lord will be ruling the earth. It says, I will set their face against them, set my face against them. They will go out from the fire, but the fire will still devour them. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I set my face against them. This is what we're seeing. The Lord is setting his face against this criminal cabal. Whether it's in Venezuela or Gaza or Iran or wherever it is, everything that they've attempted to do, the Lord is setting his face against them. It's a beautiful thing. And it's the Lord. This is what the whole chapter about joy is that the Lord loves us and that he is setting us free. Isn't that amazing? It says in Ezekiel 17 about the secret societies, all his fugitives and all his bands will fall by the sword, and those who remain will be scattered toward every wind. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Isn't that beautiful? Anyway, so passage after passage after passage, this is our joy, is that the Lord is doing this to save us. And so, all right, I'm gonna go. I hope you guys had fun. I know I was a little bit longer than usual, but that's okay. We had a great time, and I will play a little bit of our wonderful song about our wonderful Lord, and I will talk to you on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central. Okay? Love you guys, and I will talk to you later.
Strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.